Our question for today is, are there hypocrites in the church? Are there hypocrites in the church? And I can see you're already interested in talking about it. So let's do. Matthew 23, 29 through 36. From the Word of God, the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 23, beginning in verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have partaken or been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto your own selves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generations of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Bicharis, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Hypocrisy, one of those touchy subjects for sure, that we have to speak upon. Before we do, I want to tell you a story of a parent who took their five-year-old to Sunday school, and her mother asked the little boy, how did Sunday school go? And the little boy said, well, we had a substitute. And the parent said, well, Mrs. Franklin wasn't there. And she says, and the little boy said, no, it was a substitute. And the mother said, well, who was it? Who was the substitute? And the little boy said, I don't know who the substitute was, but I think she was the grandmother of Jesus. And the mother said, the grandmother of Jesus? What makes you say that? And the little boy said, well, that's all she would talk about. Was Jesus. And so the little boy thought that that was Jesus' grandmother. I want to talk to you today about one of the really sensitive subjects in my life and probably yours. And you've heard this statement many times. The church is full of hypocrites. The people down there are two-faced, and I don't want anything to do with them. Maybe your own child, maybe your neighbor that you're by doesn't want to come to church. You've invited them over and over again, and they use this phrase to say, I'm never going to go to church because there's hypocrites there. And they say one thing, and they do another. Hypocrites, people who know religion, but people who don't know God. Hypocrites, they have knowledge. Jesus says the leaven of the hypocrisy, the leaven of the Pharisees has infected the entire land of Israel, especially within the religious community. But the entire land is permeated with their hypocrisy, with their way of teaching about God, which is very difficult for not only the people. But as Jesus comes into the scene, he's up against not people who are teaching out of the Old Testament per se, but people teaching their own vices, people teaching their own ways, and it becomes, as we know, hypocrites. And he says this over and over again in chapter 23, hypocrites, hypocrites. And what is a hypocrite? Hypocrite is a person who says one thing, but does another, of course. A person who is two-faced, a person who's pretending. And Jesus says these words that are very harsh in our terminology. Woe to you. Woe. Woe to you. Not just as some type of casual conversation, but there's a warning here. If you keep listening to these guys, if you keep doing what they're doing, you're going to split hell wide open just as much as they are for what they're doing. And so he says, woe to you Pharisees and other religious leaders, hypocrites. They won't allow people to get into heaven. They can barely get into heaven because of all the works that they're trying to do to get into heaven. Jesus says they pretend to be holy with their long, drawn-out public prayers in the streets, while at the same time, he says they were evicting widows from their homes and not helping them. He says that they go to all lengths to make one convert and then turn him into a son of hell, he says, because that convert should have really just never been born because he's twice damned now to hell. He wants to know the way to heaven, but the Pharisee, the hypocrite, leads him away from heaven and follows him down to his path. This is a good example here that Jesus brings up in chapter 23. They would teach people to swear an oath by God's temple. But that oath you can break, and it means nothing. But if you swear an oath by the gold in the temple, well, that one's binding. Which is greater, they would say, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And they would say to take an oath by the altar can be broken even, but to swear a gifts by the altar is binding. It's nonsense is what it is. And Jesus calls them out on that. I'll give you a present day example. I've been around pastors and preachers. And in this particular denomination that I was speaking to, this pastor was telling me that if he sinned on Monday and died on Tuesday, he would die and go to hell. And he professed to be a Christian. He claimed to know Christ as a Savior. And this is his reason. He didn't wear a long sleeve shirt. That was his sin. His sin was not wearing the proper clothing. And I said, God's going to sentence you to hell because you didn't wear a long sleeve shirt and somebody saw you. He said, that's right. You can't sin or God's going to damn you to hell. Well, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. This is what they're preaching. Same way with the Pharisees. The Pharisees would teach you to tithe to the last mint leaf in your garden, but ignore the important things, Jesus says, like justice, mercy, and faith. Yes, you should tithe, as Jesus says, but you shouldn't leave the important things undone. You have anger in your life? You need to take care of your anger. You have bitterness in your life? You need to take care of the bitterness in your life. You have grace in your life? There is no grace? You need to take care of grace. But instead, the Pharisees weren't focusing in on justice, mercy, and faith. They were focusing in on the small, trivial things. Jesus says they strained to swallow a gnat, but swallowed a camel instead. Ever meet anyone like that? Ever meet a hypocrite that was concerned about your life, but they weren't concerned about how their life was going? I have. I've met them. And Jesus says that hypocrites, they're so careful to polish the outside of the cup. I hope no one's ever done that. Just clean the outside of the cup or the plate, but not the inside, to leave the cereal there. He says they're like beautiful mausoleums, tombs, sepulchers, full of dead men's bones and foulness and corruption. He says they try to look like saintly men, but underneath those pious robes that they wore are full of hypocrisy and sin. What they would do, they would go out, especially before some of their special days, and they would go out and whitewash the sepulchers. If you've ever been to New Orleans, you can see them. They're above ground there, the tombs and the all the mausoleums there. Because if you bury a person in New Orleans, they'll just pop up out of the ground because it's so wet, and of course it floods all the time. So they buried them atop, and they're very beautiful. Well, in this day, they would go out as a part of their religious ceremony, as a part of who they were, just like what sometimes we have our ceremonies too, whether it be Baptists or Methodists or Catholics. All religions have their type of ceremony, and part of their ceremony was to help people and to help keep the grave sites looking good, and also to prevent people from touching the bones of people that have died, because they would be unclean. They would be sinning, and you can't sin. That's what the Pharisee would say. You can't sin, and so we're going to go out, and we're going to paint these tombs, and we're going to make them white, and that way you can avoid them, and then that way we can have our righteousness as well, so we won't sin. And it was part of their religious time and ceremony, and so you feel real good about yourself. Here's the irony of it all. They're doing exactly, in real life, in real time, what their spiritual life and spiritual time looks like on the inside. They're just whitewashing themselves to make them look good. They're putting on pious robes. They're saying pious prayers. They're giving out pious orders. And in the meantime, their heart is full of hatred, anger, bitterness. What good does it do? What good does all the religion in the world do you if on the inside you're just a dried up, shriveled, spiritually dead person? And this is what Jesus is teaching and preaching to the Pharisees. They would say, though, if I had been born back in my father's day, I would not have killed the prophets and the preachers back in the Old Testament. This is why the Old Testament's so important to us, to read those stories. Do you realize that the prophets, sometimes we get really good stories like Samuel and Samson and some of those judges, and we have the prophet of Jonah and Daniel, but later on they would kill these prophets. In fact, Ahab and Jezebel tried to kill Elijah, didn't they? Fortunate for him, and the Lord didn't allow that to happen. But other prophets were killed. They were sawn in two. They were filleted alive. They were burned. They were eaten by wild animals. And these Pharisees and scribes, these Bible teachers and preachers of Jesus' day say, well, we wouldn't do that. Why? Why would they say that? Well, because they're righteous. They're self-righteous. We wouldn't do such a things as our fathers did. And guess what Jesus said? He says, like father, like son. They bear all the guilt and all the condemnation is on them, because they will again kill the prophet. They will again kill the disciples of Jesus. And of course, they're plotting and planning to crucify Jesus even as he's speaking to them, and kill his followers afterwards. And so he says, you snakes, you vipers. I love the old country saying, there's a snake in the grass. When the snake's in the grass, he's all right. He's fine. He's just laying there. When's the problem? When you get near him, when you step on him. Death comes to those who step on the snake. Is the church full of hypocrites? Yep, sure is. A hypocrite is that two-face, someone who's play-acting, someone who's pretending. But what about those who say, I'll never go to church because it's full of hypocrites? What about work? Work isn't full of hypocrites. What about your civic center? Not full of hypocrites. What about the club that you attend? Not full of hypocrites. It's a lame excuse, because hypocrites are everywhere. How about at home? Full of hypocrites. They're everywhere. I love it when an environmentalist. Have you ever met a real? I've never met a real environmentalist. I guess I've just heard about them and read about them. But the environmentalists, whoever they may be, will tell you and me, in order to save the planet, we're going to have to stop driving our combustible cars and start driving electric cars. You're going to have to stop using even as silly things as much toilet paper as you're using. You need to go down to one square a day. But the environmentalists will tell you. They'll tell you you need to start using. Yeah, Brother George, you need to start using public transportation. Get rid of your car altogether. You know what those environmentalists fly around in? Drive around in? Yeah, there's example after example. I love Al Gore's example. You know, Al Gore has at least 5 or 6 homes, and just one of his living rooms is the size of most likely your home. That's your environmentalist. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. They're all over the place. You ever met a vegetarian that eats a chicken nugget every now and then? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's not going to hurt anything. Well, they're a hypocrite, right? A vegetarian being an hypocrite. I just looked up charities. Goodwill. United Way. Boys and Girls Club. I thought Boys and Girls Club was a good one. You know how much the CEOs make of these organizations? And I just looked this up. Goodwill. The CEO of Goodwill makes $900,000 a year. The CEO of United Way makes $1.2 million every year. The CEO, and this is what astounded me, which it probably shouldn't have, I guess, because that's the way it is. Boys and Girls Club. I've been active in our Boys and Girls Club. Been part of the community. They're always begging for toys, for supplies, for basic needs for the boys and the girls that come in, basketballs and hoops. The CEO of the Boys and Girls Club makes $1.8 million every year. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. They're everywhere. At the beginning of an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, each time someone shares, they will begin by first saying, "Hi, I'm Bob. I'm an alcoholic." Think how many of us that go to church and refuse to say, "Hi, I'm a sinner." Howard Carter discovered the tomb of Old King Tut, you know, Tutankhamun, in the early 20s. Howard Carter finally broke into the tomb of one of Egypt's richest kings. In fact, it's one of the unspoiled tombs. All the grave robbers have come along for the centuries before and got all the gold and all the things of the previous kings. But King Tut was intact in the 20s, and he opened up the coffin, opened up the sarcophagus. And inside that coffin was another coffin. And he opened up that coffin. And inside that coffin was a coffin covered in gold leaf. He opened up that coffin. And inside that third coffin was one of solid gold. And when he opened up the fourth coffin, inside was King Tut. He was wrapped in gold cloth, and he had an incredible gold mask on his face. A lot of you may know that gold mask of King Tut. Very beautiful, very intricate. It's amazing what they made back in that time. But when they lifted off that mask and took off the gold cloth, there is an old, dried, withered, dead corpse inside. The outward things didn't change what was on the inside. Many hypocrites have quite a few things on the exterior. That's why they're hard to spot. That's why the snake in the grass is hard to spot. God looks on the heart. God sees through all those things that we adorn ourselves with, and we do. We put it on ourselves sometimes, and we decorate ourselves with this. I love the sayings. You can fool all the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And you especially can't fool God any of the time. God's judgment is according to truth. And today, this is our fundamental problem. We've talked about this on our Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, that we lack absolute truth in America. And in fact, the phraseology is this: it's my truth or your truth. But it's mainly whatever your truth is, that's what it's going to be. And so if everybody has their own truth, then no one's true at all. That's the problem. And we go back to what God says. The fool thinks in his heart that there is no God. He seems right in his own ways. Daniel said, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Oh, isn't that true? Look how much we have. I think I have my phone here. Yeah, but it's not my phone. This, you can access it. This is where I access the King Tutankhamun information. Right from my phone. Here it is. It's knowledge is increased. But where has it gotten us? Where is it going? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's standard is truth. In fact, God's written us a Bible, and it's called the Word of Truth. That's amazing, isn't it? God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth. God is building his church, and the church is called the pillar and ground of truth. God has sent his Son. And we just learned this in John, that Jesus is the truth. The truth. I love the Apostle John said, I have no greater joy to know that my children walk in the truth. Walk in Jesus himself. God judges according to truth, and here it is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The church is full of sinners. The church is full of sinners. I'm Josh. I'm a sinner. But by God's grace, but by God's love, I have victory and salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the difference. That's the difference between a hypocrite and a person who knows the truth. The problem we have is that we grade. Everything we do is on a scale. And the hypocritical Pharisees were no different. And sometimes we fall into that same trap, whether it be tithing or church attendance or reading our Bible. We judge by that scale. That person gave a lot of money, so they must be really spiritual. They said the same thing back in Jesus' day. The guy put a lot of money in the plate, and everybody around said, oh, look how spiritual that person is. And Jesus says, no, the person that's spiritual is that little old widow lady that just gave a penny. That's the one who is spiritual. That's the one who God sees that has life inside of her. So Jesus gives us these ways of determining our own spirituality, and it's not man's ways. It's not our way of a value system. God's value system is totally different. God doesn't grade on a curve. Thank God that he doesn't grade on a curve. He grades us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. This is what we say. We're bad, but we're not as bad as somebody else. And so these religious people and us say, I'm not as bad as those people. In fact, I'm bad, but I can perform in a certain way to make myself good. I can act a certain way to make myself good. I can talk in a certain way to make myself good. And I'm here to tell you, if that way is not Jesus Christ, you may think it's good, but you're leading yourself down a road to destruction. I can't tell you how many people I've met, folks, that have been in church 10, 20, 30 years, and they come up to me and go, I'm completely lost. I have no idea how to deal with this problem or this problem. I have no idea how to get hatred out of my heart. I have no idea how to forgive somebody. I have no idea how to stop being bitter. What happened? Well, because they put on a robe. They put on a gold mask. They put on religion. And they didn't allow Jesus to be a part of their life. That's what happened. They thought God great on a curve. If I just act a certain way and I'll be religious, then God's going to take care of things. God's going to do things in my life. How can God do things in your life when you don't even know him? As a matter of fact, James says, the brother of Jesus, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, the same is guilty of all. God demands absolute perfection. And none of us can provide it. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need Jesus. We need the righteousness of God that comes from his Son by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do it? How do we answer our neighbors, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, even ourselves about hypocrites in the church? First of all, look in the mirror. That's pretty simple. Look in the mirror. Now, for those of you that are true hypocrites, this isn't going to do you any good, I hate to say, because you got a gold mask on. You think you look pretty good. But you got to look in the mirror, and that mirror's got to go inside. The mirror's got to go inside. And this idea of looking at the faults of others to make yourself look good, that goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, I'm sorry. It goes all the way back to the first trick of the devil to fool people. That's not how God grades. Then look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. There's probably a number of people in here today. You're not hypocrites. You're not even saved. You know why you're not saved? You're not saved because you're not looking at somebody else. You're not looking at Jesus. You may be looking at a Christian who claims to be a Christian, who claims to know about religious things, but they don't know Jesus either. And that may be keeping you away from God. That may be keeping you away. It hasn't been years ago that a hypocrite came into my life and tried to fool things around and tried to dissuade me from Christianity by their actions and by what they did. No. It's been very, very recent. Very recent that a hypocrite came into my life and said, this is the way it should be, and because of that, you're out. It's called being stabbed in the back, essentially. But they're hypocrites. They don't know the Lord. The best people that I know, though, are people right here. People right here in church. Blood-bought, born-again Christians who want to serve the Lord, who know who they are and who God is. God, you're perfect. I'm not. I'm going to do everything I can to be like your Son, the Lord Jesus, because he died for me. He loved me, and I want to be just like him. Don't let some hypocrite keep you from Jesus. You'll spend all of eternity in hell with them. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Don't be whitewashed. Don't be whitewashed. Be washed white by the blood of Jesus. If you're not saved, come and get saved today. It's the most important decision you'll make. Don't bring your self-righteousness. Bring yourself. Bring your sin. Bring it all to Jesus. I love this saying, there's nobody so good that you don't need to be saved, and nobody so bad that you can't be saved. Give your heart to Jesus. You might say, and you've been a church member, and you've never been saved. Well, get settled today. It's okay. We're all on this journey together. We can face it together. It's something we all wrestle with. This is the time. This is the place to get things right with God and to live a different life. And it's a life without pretense, a life without show, and maybe to the hypocrite or two, just like me. I want to live a real life. I want to live a life where people see who I really am, with all the imperfections. Here it is. This is what you get. I thank the Lord that Jesus took me with imperfections and all. He died for me, a sinner, just as he died for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that number one, we don't got to live this hypocritical life. We don't got to try to put on airs to get to heaven. We don't got to put on a show. We don't got to pretend. And Lord, I pray that there's no one here pretending. As a pastor, I don't want anybody here to pretend. I want everybody to be real, and I know you want everybody to be real. I want everybody to know you as their Lord and Savior, and I pray that they'll make that right today. And I know there's some Christians here that need to put away the pretense, need to put away the show, and just accept you, Christ, accept you, Lord, to be their guide, their Lord, and to put away the sin that's in their life, the sin of pride, the sin of self-righteousness. And Lord, I know that we can do that today. We can make things right now. Thank you so much for your great love and your amazing grace. Let's all pray. Let's all stand and sing.
There's room at